I thought it was amazing as I read over this again today, how much that this coincides with what we've been studying and what we've been preaching through in the book of 1 Peter. How he talked about the joy down here. He said in verse number 26, he said that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. And then when you come over there, and he said it's given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. It doesn't matter whether it's the Apostle Paul giving us the Word of God or whether it's the Apostle Peter giving us the Word of God. Isn't it wonderful that it's the same? Amen. And he wants us to rejoice in the good things of God. And he wants us to understand that coming along with believing in Christ and with being a Christian, there'll be some suffering along the way and there'll be some conflict along the way. He said, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. I want to key in tonight on this. He said for me to live as Christ but to die as gain. We've already been through that. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But he said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I think it's important that we see that the Apostle Paul, and I believe every Spirit-filled individual, everybody that is walking with the Lord and in the Lord, and the Lord is controlling their life, they are no longer interested in what's best for them. They're interested in what's best for others. It would have definitely been best for Paul to check on out of here and go home. But what he was interested in was what was best for the people at Philippi. And I know, and I know this is close to home, real close to home, for any of us and all of us that have lost a close loved one. But the time can come when God helps us as we watch our loved ones suffer. God helps us to desire no longer what's best for us, but what's best for them. Amen. And many times in their lives, when they were living, they were the same way. They didn't desire what was best for themselves. They desired what was best for others. And I believe that goes along with what Jesus said when he said, I come not to be ministered unto. Jesus said, I didn't come so people could just load me up with blessings. But he said, I come to be a blessing. I come to minister. And I believe that's the way the Christian looks at things. And Paul's going to minister to the church, and he's going to be used of God, and he's confident of that. And that's what I want us to see in verse number 25. He said, and having this confidence, he said, I have confidence that God is going to allow me to stay, that God is going to allow me to be a blessing, because he said, this is what he said, that I shall abide, stay, and continue with you all. And he said, here's the reason, for your furtherance, that you might progress in the things of God and the joy of faith. And I think that's a wonderful thing that Paul is saying. He has confidence that God's going to allow him to stay. I got keyed in on that word confidence and begin to look at it in the Bible. How many believes that we should have confidence? Amen. Paul had confidence that he was walking with God, that God was using him, had used him, and was going to use him in the future. And I want to show you some things as we go through the Word of God here about this word, how it's used in the Bible. And I think it's important even in the life of the Apostle Paul as he uses the word confidence. Let's go first of all to Psalms chapter 118. Psalms chapter 118. And the Bible's going to give us some instruction concerning this confidence. The Bible said in verse chapter 118, verse 8 and verse number 9, the Bible said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And he said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. As I read that scripture this afternoon, reviewing and going back over the lesson for tonight, the Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart I believe it was 2012 when we had the election. And I remember how downhearted I was the morning after the election. And God reminded me it's better to put confidence. As a matter of fact, that's how the Lord brought me up that morning. Amen. I was probably 560, 70 miles away from home. And all I wanted to do was hook to that travel trailer and come home. I was discouraged. I was downhearted. I was defeated. I thought our country has gone to the dogs. Amen. And I was hurt. Now, I'm not trying to hurt anybody tonight. I'm just telling you about an experience that I had. Amen. I was very hurt by what had happened and very disheartened by what had happened. But you know what the Lord did? He got me about 30 minutes of that moaning and groaning and moping. And the Lord reminded me of something. He said, a lot may be changed in this country. But he said, son, why don't you start thinking about the things that haven't changed and will not change? And I began to think about the Word of God. I had it the night before, and I had it the next morning, and I'll have it till I leave this world, and then I'll meet it in glory, because it's forever settled in heaven. Amen. I began to think about the things that had not changed. I had an appointment to preach that morning at the Christian school before I went into prison. And God said, quit your moping, quit your groaning and moping around here. You're going to preach this morning. Them youngins need you. And I tell you, God just began to pick me up. And because I tell you, I had my confidence in some of them commentators, amen, that said this thing was going to turn around. How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. And I tell you, God let me know, amen, that I'm not to put my confidence in the princes, not to put my confidence in man, but I'm supposed to put my confidence in the Lord. And I believe that is important. And I appreciate the Lord that His Word wasn't going to change. His call on my life, it wasn't going to change. And the way of salvation wasn't going to change. God wasn't going to change. Amen. He said, I'm the Lord. I change not. And we ought to put our confidence in Him. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 for just a moment, please. In verse number 26. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 26. How many believes Paul, when he was beaten, shipwrecked, stoned, left outside the city for dead, how many believes his confidence was in the Lord? I tell you, I believe that's why he's able to rise and shine. That's why he's able to say, I've learned, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Amen. Because he knew his circumstances might change in a heartbeat, but he knew his Lord wasn't going to change. Amen. Look here at Proverbs now, chapter number 3 and verse number 26. The Bible said, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. How many believes God is pleased when we're putting our confidence in Him? Amen. And He's talking about He's going to be our guard. He's going to keep our foot from being taken by the enemy. Look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 26. The Bible said here, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. I appreciate a place to get in out of the storm, don't you? That place is the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 19. Listen to what the Bible said here. The Bible said here, confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I'm going to ask you something. Have you ever had a problem with a tooth? Have you ever had a broken tooth? I'll tell you, I don't know about having a foot out of joint, but I've had a foot where the joints is out of whack. Amen. I'm talking about gout. Has anybody ever experienced anything like that? I hope not. But if you have, that's what the Bible is saying, that confidence in an unfaithful man is like. It's like a broken tooth. It's like a foot out of joint. It's going to end up hurting along the way. Look at Acts with me, please, for just a moment. In chapter 28, as we come over into the New Testament. In the book of Acts, chapter 28, we're going to see here what Paul, he says here in verse number 29, and when he had, chapter 28, verse 29, when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Watch this now. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. With all confidence, no man forbidding him. Here's what I want to say right there. The Apostle Paul was able to stand and preach the word of God without fear, without favor. I don't know if you all have ever experienced this or not, but sometimes you can hear somebody, not much in our circles, I'll tell you that, but you can hear somebody that almost sounds like the whole time they're preaching, they're apologizing for what they're saying. Amen. And Paul wasn't like that. He preached it with confidence that this was God's word. Not only was it God's word, but it'll get the job done. Somebody said to me more than one time, something along this nature, if that don't get the job done, it ain't going to get done. Amen. The word of God will get the job done. And Paul had his confidence that the word of God would do just exactly that. Look at Galatians chapter 5 for just a minute. The book of Galatians. We'll see here another instance where the word confidence and the idea is used in the word of God. In Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 10, the Bible said here, I have confidence. Now watch this. Watch this. This is important. Paul said, the book of Proverbs said, not to put your confidence in man. How many knows that's right? Amen. But watch this. Watch this carefully. He said, I have confidence in you. Now, wait a minute. What if we stopped right there? Then it looks like there would be a contradiction, doesn't it? But he said, I have confidence in you. Watch. Through the Lord. That's why Paul could say something like this. Be you followers of me. But he didn't just say that. He said, even as I also am a follower of Christ. And so there's nothing wrong with that confidence as you watch someone walk with the Lord and walk in the Spirit. The Bible said that you will be none otherwise minded. He's going on here. Let me get it in its context and you'll see. He said in verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. I know you've probably heard a lot of preaching about that over the years, about falling from grace. But let me ask you a question. It'll really help you with that verse. Listen to this question. Who is justified by the law? Can anybody answer that question? Who is justified by the law? Nobody. Is that right or is that wrong? By the law, no man can be justified. Amen. So what Paul is saying is, if you're getting away from the grace of God and you're preaching a justification that's by the law, you've gotten away from the justification that's by grace through faith. Look at verse 5. He said, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. He said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. He said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And then he said, I have confidence in you through the Lord. What Paul is, he's writing to the church at Galatia, and he said, I've got confidence that there's some of y'all down there, amen, that's not going to take up with this false doctrine. You're going to stay in the right way. And my confidence is in you through the Lord. And I believe that's needed. Amen. Look at Galatians, if you will, or excuse me, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, just on over from where our text is tonight, in verse number 3 and verse number 4. He said, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have, what's the next word? No confidence in the flesh.
though I might also have confidence in the flesh, he said, if any man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now, this is a little bit deeper than just saying I'm going to trust my flesh. What Paul is talking about is his religious credentials. He's saying, I've got them. He said here, circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Is that not a heavy statement right there? Paul said, I'm blameless concerning, if you're talking about the righteousness which is in the law. But he said, yet in verse number 7, he said, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I want to say this tonight. I'm not against education. I'm not against education. I'm not against education as far as Bible education. I'm not against that. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It don't matter how many degrees you've got on the wall. Amen. If that's where your confidence is, you're in trouble. Amen. Our confidence is to be in the Lord. It's not supposed to be in what we've been able to accomplish. Amen. It's supposed to be in the Lord. And Paul, he's as much as saying, if all that was hanging on the wall, I just take that down, throw it in the trash pile, because I want to win Christ. I want to have Christ's blessings on me. Amen. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Amen. I'm not against education, but I used to preach, and there was a man in the circle where I was preaching, and every time he got up, he talked about Bible college, and he talked about where he went to Bible college and how long he was in Bible college. And I thought to myself, every time I'd hear the man preach, all I could think was this. I bet you the principal of that Bible college wishes you'd quit telling where you went to Bible college. Amen. I'm telling you, it was terrible. Amen. It was terrible. And we're not supposed to have confidence in our accolades or confidence in the flesh. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Our confidence is supposed to be in the Lord. Look at the book of Philemon here. And let me show you another verse. I love this. This is just absolutely awesome. What Paul is going to say to us here. It's in verse 21. Little book of Philemon. Just one chapter, I guess. I guess you'd say it's a chapter. It's a book. But anyway, in verse number 21. Look here what he said. Let me go back up. Verse 17. By the way, if you've studied this book, you already know this. There's not a better picture of the grace of God, I believe, in all the Bible than the book of Philemon. Paul said, look what he said. He said, if thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself. He said, he's talking to Philemon about Onesimus. Onesimus evidently had fled to Rome and evidently had ended up in prison with Paul down there. Paul won him to the Lord. Paul writes him a letter of recommendation. That's what the book of Philemon is, a book of recommendation. He's recommending him back to his master. And then in verse number 18, he said, if he have wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Boy, don't that sound like Jesus. Amen. That's what he did at Calvary. He exchanged our account. Amen. He could say to the Father, if that Vinoy boy down there has wronged thee, if he owes you aught, put that on my account. Thank God he put my sin on his account. Amen. Watch what he said here now. He said, receive him as myself. Now watch this. He said, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. But he said, albeit, I'm going to remind you of something. I do not say to thee, how that thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, watch this. He said, let me have joy of thee. Here's the phrase again, in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. And then he said in verse 21, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more. Hallelujah. Isn't that what the Lord did when he saved us? we ask for him, ask him to, how many believes he done more than what we ask for? Amen. He said, I have confidence that you're going to do more than what I've asked you to do. Not equal to, not less, but do even more. And that confidence was in Philemon's God that lived in him. Look at Hebrews with me for just a moment. The book of Hebrews and chapter 3. We'll get back over to our text. I'm looking at this confidence. That stirred my heart. Paul said, I have confidence. I know that God's going to let me stay. My confidence, I believe God had let him know in his spirit that God was going to let him stay and minister to the church at Philippi. Look here with me at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 14. The Bible said this, For we are made partakers of Christ. If, I'm doing this on purpose because these verses right here have thrown some Christians for a loop down through the years. He said, I know that we're made partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now stay with me just a minute. You might say, well, what if we don't? I'm going to answer that. Or the Bible's going to answer that in just a moment. Now let's go over here to Hebrews chapter 3. Just go up a few verses, verse number 6. He says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast, there's that if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. How many knows that entire doctrines, entire denominations have been built on just a verse or two of Scripture? How many knows what I'm talking about right there? Amen. So what's Paul talking about here? The writer in the book of Hebrews, he said, if we hold fast the confidence of the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Let's compare Scripture with Scripture. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 35. The Bible said in verse number 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after that you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. How many believes that? Look at the next verse. He said, now the just shall live by faith. That's over in the book of Romans as well. He said, the just shall live by faith. Watch this now. But if any man draw back, that's somebody that didn't get that if right over there. If any man draw back, he said, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now look at verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Is anybody seeing that right there? Yes, God wants us to have confidence all the way across the finish line. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If a man's been born again, heaven will be his home when he leaves this world. Amen. There are going to be people at the judgment seat that are going to lose their reward. There was even a man in sin in the book of Corinthians. The Bible talked about how that he was committing incest with his stepmother. And the Bible said we shouldn't even be spoken of. And Paul told him to put away from among you that wicked one. Amen. He said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. But I tell you, Paul didn't quit there. He said, turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Anybody know the rest? That the soul may be saved in the day of judgment. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say we need to take Bible with Bible with Bible with Bible. Amen. We can lose our reward, but a person that's ever been born again is not going to lose their soul. Amen. I'll tell you what Jesus does. He does forever. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Amen. And I believe that. That's the confidence. I would hate to think tonight that I had to lay down every night and my confidence was no greater in him that he could keep me through the night. My confidence is better than that. He's not going to keep me through the night. He's going to keep me through the night and the day and the night and the day and the night and the day till he takes me to where there's no more night. Amen? He's going to keep me because the Spirit of God has sealed me. And every born-again believer till the day of redemption. That's the confidence that God wants us to have in Him. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That word substance means the ground or the confidence. That's what faith is. It's the confidence of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Look at 1 John chapter 2 for just a moment. 1 John chapter 2. I don't know where the time went tonight, but I've enjoyed it. Amen. I hope you have a little bit anyway. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 28. The Bible said this. It said, "And now, little children, abide in Him." Stay close to Him. "When He shall appear," "abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." You know, I told you about Dad's old truck and how it had a sound all of its own. I tell you what, if you're sitting on the front porch and you had done what Dad asked you to do, you're glad to hear the old muffler turning in up there at the high school. But if you were racing around and just trying to get the mower out of the shed when you heard that muffler, then you was just kind of ashamed of yourself that you let the tennis or the basketball or whatever was going on take you away. And I'll be honest with you tonight, church. Please hear me well right here. We'll be ashamed if we let something in this world pull us away from the work that God wants us to do. Amen. We'll be ashamed at His coming. But He said, "I want you to have confidence." Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 21. The Bible said here, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another." Well, I'll tell you what, the Lord made it easy, didn't He? He said, "Believe on me." He said, "Love one another." Amen. Remember those commandments? He hung them all. He hung all the law on those commandments. Amen. That we should love one another. "Love the Lord thy God with all your heart." I can't quote it all exactly, in your soul and your body and your mind. And then, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." He said, hang her up right there. Amen. If we're hanging our lives right there, we can have confidence toward Him. Amen. When He comes. Watch this. In chapter number, 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 14. And we know the Bible said, that's verse 15. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." There's something that I always get out of that verse when I read it, and that is this. When we're praying for someone's salvation, we can know that we're asking that according to His will. Because the Bible said, it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I like to say it like this. Everybody that leaves this world without Jesus dies and goes to hell. They go against the will of God. They went over the blood of Jesus. Amen. They went against the word and the will of our Lord. Watch this now. He said in verse number 15, "And we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Back over to Philippians just a moment tonight. Philippians chapter number 1. Paul had a great confidence, didn't he? His confidence in the Lord. But you know something tonight? He had confidence in believers. But then you add that little phrase, in the Lord. In their walk with God. And that God was using them. I don't know about you, but let me just put myself in this situation. If I wasn't the pastor at Bible Way, and I was looking for a church for myself and my family,
Brother Brian, I wouldn't go where I didn't have confidence in the pastor or confidence. I wouldn't go to a Sunday school class where I didn't have confidence in the Sunday school teacher. I'll go a step further than that. I wouldn't even want to go to a church if I didn't have confidence in the deacons. Amen? Because you say, preacher, I thought you said we're not supposed to put confidence in man. What I'm saying is this. We ought to be able to look at that man and see these three words, in the Lord. In the Lord. Our confidence is not in man outside of the Lord. Our confidence is in that man in the Lord. How many believes your children ought to have confidence? Brother Rick, your son ought to have confidence in his dad. That's not going against Scripture, but as you walk with God, he ought to be able to have confidence in his Father and confidence in his Heavenly Father as well. And the youth that are over there tonight, they need to have confidence in Brother Johnny. Amen? They got to have. Amen? Or we don't have anything. But it's not outside of the Lord. It's in the Lord. Look here. The Bible said here, I have this confidence in verse 25. I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and the joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. We'll get into these verses next week. What night next week? Okay, amen, amen. We're going to have, never mind, I'm not going to say that. We're going to have prayer meeting on Tuesday night next week. Amen. I know one thing. I've learned this about Bible Way. When you blow it, you can forget about living it down. Amen, Brother Rick. You can just forget it. Amen. You can forget it. Amen. But I'm going to let Brother Brian live it down. I'm never, ever, ever going to mention that Tuesday night prayer meeting on Tuesday night again. Never, ever. Amen. Never, ever. Okay. But Paul had confidence, and I appreciate that. You know, I don't know what the Christmas play's about. I mean, if you're going to tell the story of Jesus, I mean, I know there's going to be something about a virgin birth in there, and there's going to be some scripture in there. But, you know, one of the things I remember vividly about the play last year was, I think Amanda carried Warner out, didn't she? Wasn't it Warner she had? And I just thought, perfect. He's a perfect one for that role, amen? And now I don't know what it's about, but you know what I have tonight? I have confidence that it'll magnify the Lord. I can't wait to see it, amen? I want to be able to see it and experience it just like everybody else does, amen? It'll be good. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here. I pray, God, that we've said something tonight. Be a help, be a blessing. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you would help us. Lord, you said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, I know that, Lord, what's going on in my life, I didn't start it. You did. And God, I'm confident that you'll finish it. I ask you, Father, to help us, Lord, when it comes our time, like it did in Paul's life when he said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith, and I finished my course. Lord, I don't want to just finish my course. As the book of Acts said, I want to finish my course with joy. I pray, God, you'd help us tonight, that our confidence might be in thee. Lord, we thank you for God's people. And Lord, we thank you for that little phrase, in the Lord. Lord, we've asked different men to stand in this pulpit in our absence, different men to come in revival meeting, different missionaries, Lord, being confident in the Lord, in them.
I pray, God, that you would just help us tonight. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.